This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Hi, I'm Kim Salmon. I'd like to have a quick word about public radio, particularly 3CR. The thing about public radio is that it's more open than the more formatted types of radio to what's going on around it. So when you listen to it, you're more likely to hear a reflection of real life. And 3CR, being in the heart of Smith Street, Collingwood, is a particularly good example of what I'm talking about. If you'd like to subscribe, the number is 94198377.
You've been listening.
Everyone in their life has his own particular way of expressing life's purpose. The lawyer, his eloquence, the painter, his palette, and the man of letters, his pen, from which the quick words of his story flow. I have my bicycle. And that's from Gina Partola, the Italian champion.
Well, we know where we're going, but we don't know where we've been. And we know what we're knowing, but we can't say what we've seen. And we're not little children, and we know what we want.
That's right. Let's give us time to work it out. You're listening to the Yarrabug Radio Show here on 3CR. Podcasting, streaming, or listening on that transistor in the kitchen. Many thanks to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now!, that window into what's happening in America, be they good, bad, but independent. Community-owned and community-run, just like 3CR in a lot of ways. We've got a big show coming up, just Faith and I and our missing guest, but let's move over that. Good morning, Faith.
Good morning, Val.
What a lovely Melbourne spring day we've had.
I'm afraid our guest might still be standing on Chelsea Station, turning blue and waiting for the trains that never come.
Took me 5 minutes to dig out the footy socks this morning, so I wouldn't freeze. Couldn't find the long-fingered gloves, but all is well, of course. But we've got to have a show. We're going to make up a little bit of things as we go along, and we'll just slide into it, actually. And to kick us off, Faith, you got a nice little bike moment to share?
I do. Okay. Yep. I took a group of women who have just learnt to ride fairly recently through the Wheel Sisters program on their first rail trail ride just over a week ago. And we went from Tallarook to Trawell and back.
Oh, cool.
Had lunch. So it was, you know, fairly new riders. And at that stage where even if they did learn maybe almost a year ago even, to get up and go on a ride, they still need quite a lot of encouragement and to feel safe. Plus,
yep,
they're all women with families and children and jobs and all that,
yep,
busyness that makes it harder to find those opportunities. And it was a great day. Everyone had a lot of fun. But while I was riding, when we first set off, I was filming behind me as they were following me.
Yeah.
And because I was looking where I was going, I wasn't actually really looking,
yeah,
at, you know, what my phone could see. So when I got home, I played the video and the expression on their faces as they first discovered what a rail trail is, like the trees,
the birds,
you set off from where we parked at the Tallarook Rail Trail yards where the horses go, because there's a particularly vicious magpie at the moment in the first 50 metres, and I thought that's not a good start for less confident riders. And so then the very first kilometre or two is downhill, a gentle downhill, and it's just that suddenly, you know, you're no longer on bike paths or shared paths in Glenroy or Faulkner. You're out in the country, in the trees. It was a gorgeous day. And, yeah, just the when I finally got time to look at this video, the look on people's faces of just sheer joy and,
It is. It's something that just keeps amazing you. I mean, when I talk about the little kids down at Singapore, it's that same thing. But even though you might have watched it a thousand times,
it never gets old.
It never gets old.
Or normal. Or, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that riding through nature in the quiet is just something that's it's regenerating. You discover so many more things.
There may have been one person for whom there was a bit too much nature, but I think in general it was taken very well.
As long as you don't see any snakes or redback spiders or something.
And we were really lucky. It was one of the days where there were gale force winds in Melbourne. So I rode up to Glenroy and I think the wind was 35 kilometres an hour with 75 kilometre an hour gusts.
Yeah.
But as soon as you got over the Great Dividing Range, it was really still.
Ah.
Yeah. And then there was a little bit of wind after lunch, but by then we were coming back and it was a tailwind for most of the way. So
you got to tell me, what's the reaction as a group? I mean, just wonder and joyfulness?
Yeah. And for a lot of them, you know, we rode 13 kilometres and for some that's a stretch, particularly with, I mean, I think of that rail trail as being dead flat.
Yeah.
But as soon as you're with them, you realise it's not actually. There's these gentle, long uphills.
Yeah.
So, you know, having to really use your gears, but also getting that opportunity to go on using them without interruptions, crossing roads and streets.
Stopping at red lights. Foot down all the time.
Yeah. And then we rode back. And so for most of them, that was a huge achievement. Some had sort of ridden that distance on bitumen before, but a lot of them never had, and it was just something they were, you know, they went from enjoying it to being really keen to push themselves to finish it. And quite frankly, you know, these are free bikes that have been donated. You know, so some of them are riding 3-speed Samsons or Reeds, you know, and others may have lucked out and got something a bit more versatile, but you know, I think it's really important too that you can do that sort of trail on anything.
On anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, that's been a great program to get the, you know what I mean, after watching it go, people getting comfortable on bikes and actually ending it, you know, and going like that. It's a great result.
Yeah, no, and still going.
Still going strong. Yeah. Oh, so that makes it's going to make mine sound a bit. No, it's not a competition. So it's a great actually contrast to it. That is the joy of actually riding the bike and discovering that ability to get out in nature, you know, and just feel so much better about yourself. Whereas mine's, I've been working on a bike project for about 3 months now, which include pulling centre pull brakes apart, polishing every part I could, and redoing an old frame that I've had for ages and slowly getting up to the mark. Anyway, last week it had its first test ride, which was wonderful. I had a second ride on it, I think Saturday or Friday, I think I was on it. I've still got a couple of little things to do with it to clean it up, and this is how obsessive I've become about it, unfortunately. I've got a tarp on the side of the house that goes over the bikes.
Yep.
So it started raining. I said, well, I'm not going to park this outside. So it's in the living room, actually.
Nothing wrong with that.
And just to try and describe, this bike made with found parts, and a little bit of effort from me and a little bit of expense, but mostly found parts from which I've had come from second chance cycles. So it's an old Japanese frame, but it was chromed, and everything on the bike is silver. It's a brown saddle, and I've got to find some brown tape for the front. I had it inside the living room. A friend popped round this afternoon and looked at it, and he said to me, he said, "You're not going to ride that, are you? You are going to put it on the wall." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, no, that's too nice to ride." It was interesting, that intersection between looking at something and going, "No, no." But he's correct in some ways, because I've got it in the living room for a start, so that doesn't say much. But look, it's I've got one thing a little bit to do, but it's been a really interesting experience, just taking my time, not rushing about it, just doing a couple of hours a day, or not a couple of hours a day, but just getting it. And I've got to say, it when I finish it and we'll get a photo, it's really one of my nicest bikes. It's lovely. Anyway, on that little humble brag, we're going to move to our little spurt for Bicycle Network, and we'll be back to talk about a few things after that.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's Ride to School programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
And you're back listening to the Yarrabug Radio Show with Faith and Val. Look, one bit of news that grabbed my interest is that from November the 1st, new Australian regulations mandate reversing technologies for all new vehicles, including trucks. All new trucks will be required to have either a reversing camera or sensors as standard equipment. And separately to that, there have been changes that now make it easier to fit blind corner mirrors, to retrofit blind corner mirrors to trucks. Previously, you couldn't fit them because they increased the width of the vehicle beyond what the regulations would allow.
Yep.
And now you are able to retrofit those, which... So I thought, well, this sounds promising. The reason I think it resonated with me was when I was living in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam, there was a spate of people being killed by trucks turning.
Yeah.
And very close to where we lived and on some routes I use quite regularly. And in response to that, the Netherlands mandated all trucks having blind spot mirrors retrofitted to them. So I was kind of thinking, I wonder what the outcome of that was in terms of improvements for vulnerable road users. And I think the Netherlands, a lot of their freight traffic comes from outside of the Netherlands.
Yep.
And that was a big talking point at the time that these rules were brought in, that, you know, when you had logistics companies operating from Poland or Spain, you couldn't mandate it.
Yeah.
But one of the outcomes was, this was 2003, the rule was introduced in the Netherlands. I think Germany and Denmark already had it or did it very close to that time. So by 2007, it becomes a European Union rule. Yeah. And what you see when you look at the number of deaths where people on bikes have been killed by a turning truck is a really dramatic drop from that point. So, and this is before cameras. This is, 2007, where all you're talking about is
a couple of mirrors.
Fitting what are called dodo hook or blind spot mirrors retrofitting those onto trucks and new trucks having to have them. There are still deaths with trucks turning in the Netherlands. It's not something that anyone seems to be able to eradicate.
Yeah.
When a large truck is turning, the trailer will often mount the curb and cut across
the
protected
radius.
Bike lane.
Yep.
So even a protected bike lane
won't save
you. And there's a big emphasis in the Netherlands on educating people on bikes to stay 3 metres away. But there is, from the implementation of those European-wide rules, a very marked decrease in the number of deaths very immediately after that. But the rules, the regulation changes in Australia, I mean, new vehicles will be mandated to have reversing technology. But there's no mandate about blind spot mirrors, and there's nothing about retrofitting them. Like, it's now possible to retrofit them, but there doesn't seem to be a mandate. And in Australia, our heavy vehicle fleets are the oldest in the developed world.
Yep.
13 to 15 years old. So if we have vehicles now that don't have the new technology and aren't mandated to have mirrors, we will have those for at least another 15 years.
Yeah.
So I do wonder if, you know, it is time to, I mean, fixing. There was a big outcry in the Netherlands at the time. It was all about, oh, our groceries are going to cost twice as much because we've had to fit mirrors to the trucks. You know, obviously someone's always going to see it as a big problem. But I do wonder if maybe it's time to mandate the retrofitting of mirrors, if it's possible that it can make such a big difference.
Yeah, or actually sensors.
Yeah, well, that's the sensors and the cameras part of any new trucks.
But as
we've just said, there will be trucks on the road that don't have them now that will be there for 15 years.
Yeah. I'm just trying to remember. I mean, when we mandated seatbelts, we mandated them for actually cars that didn't have them.
Yeah.
You had to put them in.
They had to be retrofitted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't have any problem with that.
Well, I think a lot of people at the time did have a big problem with it, but we just did it.
Yeah. The unvaccinated ones. Oh, no, I didn't say that.
I remember when, I mean, you would too, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Was,
we well, just point said, well,
0.05 yeah. was going to ruin the roads
yes,
too,
yeah,
actually,
yeah.
beside the point. It's interesting. I mean, on a couple of places I walk, actually, and there are a couple of the rubbish trucks, the big ones, and they just stick it in the reverse and go. It's interesting. I mean, the driver's obviously very aware of what's going on, but you can see just as a pedestrian walking along a passageway with these things reversing over it, you can see how easily they are completely blind.
Yeah. Well, our street is a dead end, so the garbage trucks have to reverse in or out, one or the other. They used to try and do a 3-point turn down the bottom until one of them knocked over an electricity pole. And so some of the newer trucks have those cabins with the really long open windscreens that give and they would have reversing cameras.
Yeah.
But the older trucks, I'm not sure. Maybe they've retrofitted cameras.
Yeah.
But it's,
It's an interesting world. I mean, unless we set the standards, a lot of these things don't get done, do they?
No. Well, it's a mirror is not a huge expense.
No.
And it's if it can make such a big difference, you know, I don't imagine there's anyone driving a truck who actually wants to. And the interactions between people on bikes and trucks are generally catastrophic.
Like, yes.
There's a lot of emphasis in the Netherlands on education of riders, because even with the mirrors and the cameras, there are situations where the driver still has a blind spot.
But, yeah.
And so there is a lot of points at which you'll come across education about staying out of the way of the truck, even when you have the right of way,
yeah,
because they talk about, well, the right of way is not taken, it's given, and the driver cannot give it to you if they can't see you.
Yeah.
So an example is roundabouts where there's a separate bike path on the outside and the rider on the bike path always has the right of way over vehicles turning in or out of the roundabout.
Yep.
But when a truck is turning out of the roundabout, even with the mirrors and everything, they often, there's one spot where they can't see riders. So it's a big, still a big issue, but it is interesting when you see the graph of how those deaths
quickly
dropped.
Change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, since we're talking about left-hand turning trucks, we should get on to Footscray Road and the Dynon Road. New bridge, the Dynon Road Bridge, has been open for about a week and a half now.
Yep.
And Footscray Road seems to be getting closer and closer.
Well, I think that was always talked about November was being it? The possible opening date. So, yeah, stay tuned.
So, and that was one, there were two left-hand turning trucks fatalities in the last 5 years down there, I think. My memory's correct.
Yep.
So it'd be good to get out of that situation. And look, I didn't realise it's not a pedestrian.
No.
So it's just completely bikes.
Yeah.
Skateboarders and wheel traffic.
Yeah.
It'll be good. Hey, listen, we should be talking about critical mass too, I suppose.
Yeah, well, coming up this Friday is a really important critical mass, which will be honouring Will Richter, who tragically died very recently on Macaulay Road. And this is being done with Will's family's permission.
Yep.
And involvement. So a really important one to get along to if you can. It will be the Will Richter Memorial Ride, leaving the State Library at 5:30 on Friday, and with the permission of his family. We'll put a link up to the Critical Mass Melbourne page. There's a petition associated with it, and it's, you know, highlighting the lack of cycling infrastructure where on Macaulay Road in Kensington, where Will was struck and killed by the driver of a truck on his 19th birthday. He's the eighth person on Victorian roads to die this year. And the ride is hoping to support his family, show the support the community has for them, and send a clear message to road authorities that we need a network of safe bike lanes that will help prevent these sorts of deaths.
Yeah, they're completely unnecessary in a lot of ways.
Yeah, riders will pause for a moment of reflection on Rankins Road, near where Will was killed. And then they will complete Will's trip to the University of Melbourne via Macaulay Road, Arden Street, Reckon Street and Grattan Street. There will be varying degrees of cycling safety. Somewhere the City of Melbourne has recently implemented protected bike lanes and others which warrant protected bike lanes but are yet to see them installed. Finishing at Carlton's University Square, where there will be a series of short speeches. If a really good one to try and get along to if you're going to be in Melbourne on the long weekend.
There's a lot to be gained from actually being much more aware about these things, and Critical Mass is doing a good job to actually highlight some of these things that otherwise would slide under the radar a bit.
And bringing the community together is, you know, it works on so many levels. I mean, there's that level of support for Will and his family. I recently found out that when Ben Fryer was killed in West Brunswick by a truck driver failing to give way, we weren't able to locate his family at the time, and that was because they were all interstate.
Yeah.
And we put up a ghost bike.
Yep.
And, you know, we waited a while and then we went ahead and did it, and you're never completely sure how that's received or what the impact might be on the family. And very recently, I had a message from Will's mother, who we had been in touch eventually with his brother, who had told us that, you know, she had been really, really devastated by his death, as you would be, but took it very hard. And she was saying, a ghost bike was left at the corner, and when I found that out, I loved it.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the family have since put a permanent a little memorial at that site. But, you know, it shows that that support from the community that can be really meaningful for the family. And,
yeah,
and not everyone wants it. I know there's been, yep, another death recently and the family aren't interested. But when it's welcomed, it's because people see the value,
yeah,
and the care in it.
And the idea that if I can do anything to stop it happening to somebody else,
yeah,
by highlighting, and actually sometimes highlighting that particular location, because it might have some obvious problems.
Well, and the other thing is that as someone who, you know, rides around Melbourne, or you can have this sense of despair that these things keep happening. So coming together is one way to sort of address that and,
yeah,
give you maybe a sense of purpose, yeah, around it.
And if you haven't ridden in a critical mass yet, if you want to feel safe on a ride, it is one of the ways to feel safe on a ride.
It is.
Surrounded, yeah, by other cyclists,
yeah,
who look after you. Yeah.
And we'll put a link to all the details. There's some different spots at which you can join if you don't want to do the whole ride. And there's an app where you can watch the ride approaching and so know when to join if you want. So we'll put a link up to all that information. But if you go to criticalmass.melbourne, then you'll also be able to find it.
Just look, a small note to anybody who's a resident of Boulevard Ward in the city of Yarra. Our local member plus the ex-mayor, Stephen Jolly, will be at Burnley Park on Wednesday at about 6 p.m. if you want to line up a couple of questions for your local councillor. She'll be there with Stephen Jolly in Burnley Park, I think, 6 p.m, something like that. Have a check up. But if you want to ask your local councillors a couple of questions, here's an opportunity to do it.
Always good to talk to local councillors and let them know what you're thinking. They tend to hear from the loudest minority.
Yep.
And it's easy to think, oh, they know what we want, but they might, yeah, not.
And interesting, this is not a council-funded or sanctioned or organised meeting. This is just the two of them.
Yep.
So that will be very interesting.
Also coming up on Tuesday, this Tuesday in Brunswick, is a bike film night presented by the Little Projector Company and 50-50 in collaboration with them, Bite Size Rides and Melbourne Dirt. This will start at 7:45 on the 28th of October at Ballumballum Place for a night of outdoor but undercover cinema. Free, fun and fabulous. It includes films The Right to Joy, Minority Mountain Bikers, and A Tale of Two Kiwis Who Pedal Across Pakistan, and some other intercontinental escapades, plus some more to be announced. So get along to that.
Bicycle and films. What could go wrong? That is all we've got time for this week. And up next is Out of the Blue. Chris will be back next Monday, and we will be back in a fortnight, hopefully, and we'll talk about some traffic stuff then. Take care.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.